Elder Steve Peters and Elder Jeff Caspers will be coming forth now to read the scriptures. Tonight's scripture lesson will be from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 15, John chapter 21, verses 15 through 22, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11, and 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, turn first to Ezekiel 34, 1 through 15.
People of God, hear the word of the Lord. From the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And then they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand, and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And turning to John chapter 21, John 21 verses 15 through 22. Notice here in this passage the graciousness of our Lord as he dispenses grace to the man who denied him three times, and yet he gives him the opportunity three times to confess him. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had been reclining at table close to him, and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
We'll be reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Turning to 1 Timothy chapter 3, we will be reading verses 1 through 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." And thus ends the reading of God's most infallible and holy word.
Let us pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have communicated your word to us. And we as your sheep want to hear from the great shepherd this evening. Shine within our hearts, loving Master, the pure light of your divine knowledge by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would open the eyes of our minds that we may comprehend the message of your gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would instill in us also reverence for your blessed commandments, so that having conquered sinful desires, we may pursue a spiritual life, thinking and doing all those things that are pleasing to you, responding obediently to your word. For you, Christ our God, are the light of our souls and bodies. And to you we give glory together with your Father, who is without beginning, and your all-holy good and life-giving Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Tonight's sermon is entitled, Shepherd Christ's Flock, and it's a command from 1 Peter chapter 5, Shepherd Christ's Flock. I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21. I'll also be focusing on John 21, 15 and following, as well as 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 7. Imagine for a moment that you have been loved by Christ in a special way, in a way that He showed special favor toward you during His earthly ministry when He was here in the flesh. You've seen Him face to face. The gracious Savior has come to you of all the people on the face of the earth and commanded you to follow Him. You've had this great and loving Savior wash your feet, this perfect one. You've had Him show you signs and miracles to show forth the reality that the long-awaited kingdom of God had been inaugurated and was dawning in Him. You had the privilege of privately with two other, James and John, seeing a bit of the Savior's power and glory in a transfiguration on the mountain. There's not much you haven't been privy to in the last few years with your Savior. He's told you that He would build His church upon your leadership and the faithfulness of someone like you, a sinful man. Yet when the time comes for you to acknowledge your Lord and Savior as the only Lord and Savior of humankind before the world, you buckle under unfaithfully and deny Him three times in the presence of a servant girl. But your Savior and Lord does not deny you. He is still faithful to you, and you've been chosen to be His under-shepherd, His chosen but imperfect instrument to make His gospel good news known. He has chosen you, but you know you do not deserve it, and that is what makes Christ so special. Christ chose you because He wanted to. He called you because of the purpose of His will. He commissioned you and charged you to shepherd His flock, to feed, to tend, to care, to nurture, and lead them. You've been called, commissioned, and now sent to proclaim this gospel of your gracious Lord and Savior. But you'll only be fit for the task as you're enabled and empowered by that same gospel you've received from Christ. You've been told that you'll suffer with Christ, even to the point of death, because of your love for Him, and because He first loved you and set His affection upon you, you will follow Him. This is Peter, the rock. This is the one who was called by Christ, not because of anything he deserved, not because of anything in and of himself, but because of Christ's purpose and will. He was called to follow Christ, to be His shepherd. In John chapter 21, beginning in 15, verse 15, we have this wonderful picture of Christ. After Peter has denied his Lord three times in the presence of a weak servant girl, Jesus restores him three times. Listen to these gracious words again. Jesus makes him breakfast, calls him to himself. If you remember, Peter had gone on about his business fishing. I suppose he reckoned that after denying the Lord, he didn't really have a place in his kingdom anymore. I suppose Peter was going about fishing because that's one thing he knew he could do well. He wouldn't deny his fishing. This was something he could do. But when called to serve the Lord, it was difficult. But his Lord embraces him. His Lord says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Despite the fact that Peter had denied him three times, his Lord is calling him to serve him. And he gives him the three commands to feed his sheep, to feed his lambs, to tend his sheep, to to feed his sheep. These are Christ's last words to Peter, very important. And he wants Peter to take care of his scattered flock. Christ wants to show him his gospel and his grace. And this is the gospel and grace that Peter is to preach and make known to others. Now, many years later, if you turn to 1 Peter, at the end of Peter's life, he writes his epistle. And his epistle is addressed to other elders. Peter's more mature now. He's walked with Christ. He's preached Christ. He's lived with Christ. Christ is at God's right hand, but Christ is using Peter as his under-shepherd. And he begins his mature letter, the last words that Peter wants to impart to other elders in the church, the last words that Peter wants to impart, to make known to other elders who will be serving as he goes the way of death. Peter starts with a command. In verse 1, he says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's going to be revealed. Verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here we have a command, a very unique command, shepherd the flock in 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Peter's giving important instructions on how to be a faithful servant of Christ, how to be to serve Christ's people, how to be faithful to Christ, and to know that there's a reward, he says in verse 4, when the great shepherd comes and returns, the great shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. In other words, Peter wants to encourage all elders, all shepherds, to be faithful to Christ, knowing that we will hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we will respond, Lord, I only did my duty because of your grace. Elders, under shepherds, presbyters, or bishops are God's ordained means of shepherding his flock. In the early church, as Paul and Barnabas established congregations of Christ, they also appointed elders. It was one of the first tasks that they set themselves to doing. In Acts 14:23, when they had appointed elders, speaking of Paul and Barnabas, for them in every church, appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. As Paul was going to Rome to die, he called to himself the elders of Ephesus, who he had trained and prayed for and with, and reminded them of some important last words. Listen to what Paul says in Acts 20, verses 25 to 32. These are Paul's last words to the elders at Ephesus, knowing that he too is going to his death. Here Paul uses a command of shepherd, just as Peter does in 1 Peter 5, 2. And it says in Acts 20, Paul is speaking, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Very important, verse 28. Listen, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or shepherds or pastors, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Paul goes on to say, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Hear Paul's last words to the elders. He says there will be trouble. There'll be those from even within the congregation who will rise up and speak twisted things. And he says to be reminded to pay careful attention to yourself. He's speaking to the elders, the shepherds, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or pastors. The Holy Spirit has appointed elders and pastors to this task, to care for the church of God, which Christ obtained with his own blood. It's Christ's church, and it's precious to Christ. This is what Paul says as he goes to his death, as he's passing the baton on to the next generation of shepherds. In Titus 1, beginning in verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus and says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer or a shepherd or a pastor, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." That, again, is the purpose of the elder, the shepherd, or the pastor shepherd. 1 Peter 5:2, Peter commands the elders, or the presbyteroi. That's where we get the word Presbyterian. You Presbyterian, overseer, used synonymously in the scriptures. He says, shepherd the flock. And shepherd the flock implies three things. Number one, tending. Number two, ruling over. And number three, keeping. When we see shepherd the flock, it's a command. As I said, it's an imperative form. It's very rare to see it. We see it in the 1 Peter 5. We also see it in the Acts chapter 20. It is a command to shepherd. And that entails all that an ancient Near Eastern shepherd would do in biblical times. It is exercising oversight, care, being an overseer of the flock, caring for the flock of God. One paraphrase says it like this: care for the flock of God entrusted to you, watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. And I think that's a helpful paraphrase of what Peter's saying here in 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. Let me focus our attention on the three aspects of shepherding: tending, ruling over, and keeping. We want to remember first that all shepherds are accountable ultimately to the great shepherd. It is Christ's church. Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian Church is Christ's church. It is his church. Elders, shepherds are appointed by the Holy Spirit, confirmed by the elders in the congregation, to serve Christ, to care for his church. God calls sinful men, saved by his grace, as we see in Peter, to serve him as under shepherds. These shepherds are not perfect, but they are qualified. And they will continue to grow and to learn as they too tend, rule, and keep the flock. So number one, a shepherd tends the flock. This is what Peter means when he says willingly, not grudgingly. He tends the flock willingly, not grudgingly. The shepherds are to be an example to the flock, not out of compulsion, but because they want to show forth Christ in their word and in their deed. There's to be eager service for Christ. remembering the call of God, remembering His vocation. As Calvin reminds all shepherds from this passage in his commentaries, we are to stand fast at the post God has called us. We are to stand firm until He calls us elsewhere. We are to be faithful, enabled by the grace of God, eager to serve God, seeking to willingly serve, avoiding complaining, seeking not to complain in difficult circumstances. Christ's shepherds are to have a willingness to suffer with Christ from without as well as from within the church. Christ's under-shepherds are called to suffer not only from without the church, from those outside, but also from those within. Remember that sheep can and may bite. The shepherd's first task is feeding the sheep. Remember what we read in Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 3? It said, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." Part of tending the flock is to feed the sheep, not feeding on the sheep. The unfaithful shepherds of Israel here that we see in Ezekiel 34 were doing it for position. They were doing it for prominence and financial gain. Those are three reasons never to be a shepherd or an overseer of Christ's flock: for position, for prominence, or financial gain. Remember what Ezekiel 34, 8 says when the Lord God says to them that they're feeding themselves and not the flock. He says, "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep." The Lord says He, by His grace, will eventually come and shepherd His sheep in the fullness of time. But it's a reminder to all shepherds that we're to feed the sheep, not to feed on the sheep for position, for prominence. So how do you feed them? How is feeding? What specifically do shepherds do in feeding the flock as part of tending, doing it willingly and not grudgingly? Feeding is declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed. It's the most important task of the shepherd, teaching them, helping them, guiding them. It's feeding the flock the Lord's Supper, giving them the opportunity for the means of grace, to encourage them to come to the table and to feed on the Lord by faith, knowing that the word and the sacrament and prayer, these are the primary means of grace that God uses to grow and mature His people. You encourage through tending. You encourage, you lift up the brokenhearted. You correct and rebuke the sheep with patience and gentleness from the word of God. But you do this like a father. You give guidance and direction from the scriptures to the best of your ability. You feed the flock only the gospel and not worldly philosophies and error or your mere opinion. Feeding the flock, the most important task. Jesus says, "Feed my lambs," to Peter as he's restoring him. "Feed my lambs, the smallest, the weakest, the youngest. And feed my sheep, those who mature as well. Young and old, feed my people the gospel." But secondly, a shepherd rules over the flock. He not only tends the flock willingly, without any grudging, he does it willingly and eagerly. But secondly, he rules over the flock. And Peter goes on to say, not domineering or lording it over the flock, not in a domineering way or lording it over the flock. Look at how Peter begins 1 Peter 5, verse 1. He says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." Peter does not in any way use his apostolic authority in a way that's domineering, even in his letter, even in his example. He says, as a fellow elder, I exhort you, these, do these things. He goes on to say in verse 6, humble yourselves. In verse 5, he said, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility one toward another. So rule over the flock, not domineering or lording it over the flock. Shepherds, we are to shepherd the flock as Christ's servant, not as domineering or lording it over them. Listen again to Ezekiel 34, verse 4. Listen again from Ezekiel 34, the rebuke of Yahweh to the shepherds of Israel. He says, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you've not sought, and with force and harshness have you ruled them. Peter has this Ezekiel 34 in his mind, I am sure, when he is reminding us to rule over the flock, not domineering or lording it over the flock. Christ's shepherds set an example of how we're to serve Christ humbly. Humility to each other, humility in front of the congregation, humility to other elders. It's very important for the congregation to see humility in their leadership, especially as they humble themselves and to submit one to one another in love. Ruling over implies leading the flock, making biblical decisions on behalf of the congregation as their representative, helping to guide prayerfully the session. We pray oftentimes in session meetings that the session on earth will line up, will be in line with the will of the session that is in heaven, speaking of the Trinitarian session, leading the flock according to Scripture. Part of ruling over the flock is not placing unnecessary burdens upon the congregation that are unbiblical, but encouraging them to do what is biblical. Part of ruling over the flock is disciplining, showing fatherly discipline with an eye toward restoration, to restore those who've fallen, to restore those who've been seduced by error or an ungodly lifestyle. What the Ezekiel was prophesying against the shepherds of Israel, they had not gone after those who had strayed. The lost they'd not sought after. With force and harshness they had ruled them, not through grace and tenderness. Discipline is very important in the church to uphold the peace and the purity of the church, to care enough to discipline according to the Scriptures in order to restore the Christian to Christ. Finally, a shepherd keeps the flock. A shepherd tends the flock. A shepherd rules over the flock. A shepherd keeps the flock. How do we keep the flock? Shepherds are to pray with and for the flock. It's important for the sheep, for the people of God, to hear their elders pray for them, to have their elders pray with them, for them, when they're in time of need. Shepherd keeps the flock by watching diligently over the flock to keep them from evil, watching for heresy, watching for false teaching, and watching for temptations. You remember what Paul said in Acts 20, his final words to the Ephesian elders, that as he goes to Rome to die, they will surely be attacked by wolves from without. Remember, people of God, from Hebrews 13:17, a very important verse with regard to the congregation and our submitting to the elders, so the shepherds in love. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Hebrews 13:7 reminds us, this is a command. Obey your leaders, submit to them as they declare to you the word of God, as they instruct you. Whether you like it or not, if it's biblical, make it easy on them. It would be no advantage for you if they're not joyful in their service. It might be puzzling at first glance, but he's reminding the shepherds and the congregation, that they're called to keep watch over your souls. That's their task. And they must give an account to the great shepherd as to whether they were faithful or not. A shepherd watches by tending to the weak and those who are lost. Again, I'll read Ephesians 34, verses 4 through 6. Listen. Yahweh says against the shepherds of Israel, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you've not brought back, the lost you've not sought, and with force and harshness have you ruled them. So they were scattered. Because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts, my sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them. The under-shepherd, the shepherd, the elder, that's commanded by Christ and by Peter here, to shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And then verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Being reminded of the unfading crown of glory that awaits as a reward those who've served Christ as their shepherds is a great blessing. It's a great encouragement. It reminds the shepherds that this indeed is Christ's church. It's not theirs. And Christ desires them to rule, to tend, to feed the flock according to His word. Very important, most important. When we look at the qualifications of an elder or shepherd, we're humbled because we realize that there was only one great shepherd, only one perfect shepherd, only one perfect elder, only one who truly loved God with all his heart and the flock as himself. It's shepherd Christ's flock. Because what we are reminded of with regard to our service to Christ and his church is that God has kept his promises, as he said in Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning in verse 11. Even when Israel had no shepherds, and the sheep were scattered and they wandered about hungry, needing to be healed with no one to care for them, God, in his infinite love and wisdom, says this: Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I'll rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Yahweh says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Even in that situation, there was going to be a time that would come where God himself would come as the great shepherd to reveal himself and his will to his people, to gather up the lost sheep. And in John 10, beginning in verse 11, we have these words of Jesus where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep were commanded to shepherd, to watch over, to be overseers, are those sheep for whom Christ gave his life for. The sheep, those whom he died for. And he is the good shepherd. And it is knowing Christ and his grace that we're to make known as we shepherd the congregation. It's to Christ that we seek in repentance when we fail as shepherds. And it's Christ we seek for reassurance and help and strength in our times of trouble. It is Christ's people we serve. It is Christ's possession. It is Christ's inheritance. It is Christ's passion. It is Christ's mission. It is from Christ that shepherds will be rewarded. And it's to Christ that we're ultimately accountable. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have chosen sinful, weak men to serve as your under-shepherds, to serve you, the great shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep. We thank you that in the fullness of the times, you did come in the flesh as the great shepherd to build your church, to take people like Peter, a sinful man, to forgive him, to command him to follow you. And even when he denied you three times, you restored him and still sent him forth to care for your flock, to shepherd them. Oh, Lord, our God, we pray that you would help us and aid us as shepherds of your sheep. May we be faithful to our great shepherd, and may the congregation obey their shepherds when they speak the word of God to them. We pray and thank you, Lord, for Elder Dr. Davis and his family. We thank you for this opportunity to install him into the office of under-shepherd, to shepherd your flock, to tend, to care, to watch over it, to rule over it on your behalf until you return, our great shepherd. We ask you to give him a special measure of grace as he serves in this task. We thank you, our Lord and our God, for the word of God and for your grace to us in Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now proceed with the installation of Elder Dr. Steve Davis. Dr. Davis, would you come and please stand before the congregation? Would Elder Peters and Elder Caspers please come forward? I'm going to read from our book of church order, and then we will have the vows that Elder Davis will take before God and the congregation. Then we will have the vows of the congregation before God and man. After that, I will call up anyone who is an ordained elder in a Presbyterian church, a Reformed church, where we have fraternal relations, to come and pray with the elders. Dr. Davis is already ordained. We are installing him tonight in the office here at Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian Church, and we are thankful to God for bringing him to us to serve. I'll be reading from the Directory for Worship, pages 155 to 56. Hear from the Book of Church Order. The office of ruling elder is based upon the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who provided for his church officers who should rule in his name. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in every church, and Paul commanded that those who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in teaching. In this passage, the scriptures distinguish between elders who labor particularly in the word and in doctrine, usually called ministers or pastors, and elders who join with the minister in the government and discipline of the church, generally called ruling elders. It is the duty and privilege of ruling elders in the name and by the authority of our ascended King to rule over particular churches and, as servants of our great shepherd, to care for his flock. Holy Scripture enjoins these shepherds, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops or overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. As a consequence, ruling elders must be zealous in maintaining the purity of the ministration of the word and sacraments. They must conscientiously exercise discipline and uphold the good order and peace of the church. With love and humility, they should promote faithfulness on the part of both elders and deacons in the discharge of their duties. Moreover, they should have particular regard to the doctrine and conduct of the minister of the word, in order that the church may be edified and may manifest itself as the pillar and ground of the truth. If they are to fill worthily so sacred an office, ruling elders must adorn sound doctrine by holy living, setting an example of godliness in all their relations with men. Let them walk with exemplary piety and diligently discharge the obligations of their office. And when the chief shepherd shall be manifested, they shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. I'll be reading now from The Form of Government, chapter 20, section 1, on pages 36 to 37 in the Book of Church Order. It being manifest by the word of God that no man ought to take upon himself the office of deacon, ruling elder, or minister, the scriptures declare that the church shall set men apart by solemn act for its service. Installation, which is what we're doing tonight, people of God, installation is the act by which a person who has been chosen to perform official work in the church, having been ordained, is placed in position to do that work. When a man receives his call to a service, his ordination and installation shall be performed at the same time. Now, finally, I'll read from The Form of Government, chapter 25, sections 1 and 3. Every congregation shall elect ruling elders and deacons, except in extraordinary circumstances. Those elected must be male communicant members in good and regular standing in the church in which they're to exercise their office. In order that these sacred offices not be committed to weak or unworthy men, and that the congregations shall have an opportunity to form a better judgment respecting the gifts of those by whom they're to be governed and served, no one shall normally be eligible for election to office until he has been a communicant member in good standing for at least 1 year, shall have received appropriate training under the direction of or with the approval of the session, and shall have served the church in functions requiring responsible leadership. Men of ability and piety in the congregation shall be encouraged by the session to prepare themselves for the office of ruling elder so that their study and opportunities for service may be provided for in a systematic and orderly way. We're thankful to God that he has brought to us Dr. Steve Davis. We're thankful to God that he is a man who has served in the church for many years, and he comes with much wisdom and knowledge of the scriptures. He's a man of exemplary piety. He's a man who's served. He's been a communicant member for over a year here at Catoctin, and he was unanimously elected by the congregation. They supported supporting the session's decision to ordain him. We will now have the vows of Dr. Davis. This is from The Form of Government, chapter 25, section 6B. And I've gone over these questions with you, and now I will ask you to vow or answer these questions in front of God or before God and man. Dr. Davis, before God and man, do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith and catechisms of this church as containing the system of doctrine taught in the Holy Scriptures? Do you approve of the government, discipline, and worship of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church? Do you promise to seek the purity, the peace, and the unity of the church? Do you accept the office of ruling elder in this congregation? And do you promise, in reliance on the grace of God, to faithfully perform all the duties thereof? Thank you. Now, congregation, you're going to commit to your brother in the Lord. I would have you bow by before God and man after I ask you this question by raising your right hand. You're vowing before God and man. So may you answer the question in the affirmative with your right hand. Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian Church, do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive this brother, Elder Dr. Steve Davis, as a ruling elder? And do you promise to yield him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office, according to the Word of God and the Constitution of this church, entitles him? If you do, raise your right hand. If there is anyone who is ordained in a congregation or a church that has fraternal relations with us, please come forward and join us in praying for Steve Davis in this important office. We're going to pray together now for Elder Davis. Let us pray. Our Father, our God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus Christ and for his church. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have the ascended, resurrected Christ have called sinful men to serve in this office of elder. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to build up, edify, strengthen our church, this Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian. May we know the grace of God more and more each day. May we grow in the grace and the love and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. May you bless Elder Davis as he rules, as he tends, as he shepherds your flock. May you give him extra measure of grace as he shepherds your people. We pray, Lord, for his family and thank you for them. We pray that you would continue to watch over them and grow them in godliness, in holiness, grow them in their life and doctrine. We pray, Lord, for him. And we pray as elders that you would bind us together in unity by your one Spirit. Help us, O Lord, to have wisdom. Help us, Lord, to be guided by your Holy Spirit. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful to your call. Help Elder Davis and the other shepherds, including myself, to serve your people. Serve your people by feeding them, caring for them, nurturing, tending them. We pray and ask for your special grace as we grow as a congregation together. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who is King of the Church. Amen. I have one more thing I need to ask you to stand for, if you would, please. Just facing the congregation. I want to present him formally to you. I now declare that Elder Dr. Steve Davis has been regularly elected and installed a ruling elder in this church, agreeably to the Word of God and according to the Constitution of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and that he is entitled to all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord to which his office entitles him. Elder Davis, I want to just remind you in this charge, just to summarize what we have heard in the sermon from 1 Peter chapter 5 and Acts chapter 20. It is not a perfect man that Jesus calls. It is a qualified man that he calls and equips. Jesus, in Ephesians, we find that Jesus builds his church through elders. Hear the word of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, it says that Jesus gave, that is speaking of the resurrected, ascended Christ, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Elder Davis, as we learned earlier, it is Christ who calls you. It is His church, and He calls you by His Holy Spirit. His church is His possession. It's His inheritance. It's His beloved. The church, these are His sheep. And so He reminds us to tend, to rule over, to keep the sheep. Remember, Elder Davis, be eager for your service, relying upon the grace of God. Remember, your call is from Christ. It's recognized through the session here. It's recognized by the congregation. But your call is from Christ. It is He you serve ultimately. Seek not to complain in the office. Seek to be quick to repent. Have a willingness to suffer for Christ, both within the church and without the church. If you recall, the Apostle Paul met with opposition from inside as well as outside in tending the flock, in protecting the flock from false doctrines and heresies. This is Christ's church, and we pray by His grace that we will continue to see His doctrine, His truth preached, and Christ and His gospel proclaimed. Feed the sheep, Elder Davis. Do not feed on them. Feed the sheep willingly. Declare in word and deed the gospel. It is the most important task. Feed the flock the Lord's Supper. They need the means of grace. Encourage them to understand why they so desperately need to be attentive to the word and to the sacraments, why they need to run to an opportunity, a call to worship, to feed on Christ. Encourage the brokenhearted. Be a father in correction and rebuke. Be gentle, be patient, always reminding ourselves that we're sinners saved by grace. Give guidance and direction to me, to the other elders, to the flock. Help us to stay the course. Help us to be faithful to the end, so that we can say that we have finished the race and we have been faithful to our Lord. Encourage us. Encourage your elders. Rule over the flock, not in a domineering way, Elder Davis, not lording it over the flock as the shepherds of Ezekiel. Set an example in humility, as you already have. Humility to other men on the session, humility to the congregation. Lead the flock by showing them from Scripture the direction and the guidance that they need. Discipline is important. In our time, in this time of the church, in the greater Bible-believing evangelical churches, discipline is not practiced. We must discipline if we're to uphold the keys of the kingdom that have been given to us, that have been granted to us. We're to be faithful with those keys to word and sacrament. Discipline upholds peace and the purity of the church. And keep the flock. Remember to keep the flock. Keep the flock from disobedience as far as it is possible in your power. Help the flock to better understand the gospel. And by God's grace, know that you've been called by the great shepherd of the sheep. And as 1 Peter 5:4 reminds us, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Elder Dr. Davis, and we pray, Lord, that you would encourage him and give him grace and strength to serve you wholeheartedly all the days of his life, to finish the race, keeping his eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian, I charge you to remember from Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 7 and also 17. Listen to what the author of the Hebrews says to you, says to the congregation of Christ. In verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Verse 17, Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian, this is a command. Hear the word of the Lord. Obey your leaders and submit to them. They are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. It's important as the congregation to remember to be obedient to Elder Dr. Davis as he lives before you the gospel, as he declares to you the gospel, as he guides you, as he directs you. Remember your leader who spoke to you the word of God. Obey your leader and submit to him. Remember that he's called by Christ to watch over your souls. It is not to you he will give an account. He must give an account to Christ. He must be faithful no matter what. Even if everyone comes against him, he must stand for the truth. He must stand for what he believes the Bible to teach. And he must proclaim it and make it known. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the great grace that we see evident in this congregation, how you've worked so tremendously in the last few years, how we've grown greatly in the gospel of Jesus, how we already see a congregation who submits to its leaders, its shepherds, who loves their shepherds, who obeys their shepherds, who submits to them in love, who prays for them. But, O Lord, we pray that you would continue to watch over this congregation, to keep us from the evil one, to be reminded of humility toward one another, and especially the honor that we owe the office of under-shepherd. Help us, O Lord, as a congregation, to give Elder Dr. Davis the honor that his office deserves. Help us to listen to him and heed his words as he teaches to us and guides us according to your word. Help us, O Lord, to be quick to repent when we in any way undermine the elders whom you have given to us, who watch over our souls. May we be quick to repent and ask forgiveness when we've done anything other than encourage them and edify them. It is for our good that we obey and listen according to Hebrews 13. So help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.